It's wonderful to be here at Women's Conference. We come from so many different places and backgrounds, and we each have a unique point of view. And we have so much in common, and it's wonderful to know that everyone in this room shares a love for young women and a desire to help them fulfill their potential. A few weeks ago, I was watching Michelle Kwan skating on TV, and she skated with such a sense of grace and beauty and so much focus and a feeling of joy and freedom. It was easy for me to forget for a minute that she was also doing something extremely courageous. She was turning, spinning, leaping on a sheet of hard, slick ice on two thin blades of steel. And it literally brought tears to my eyes as I thought of our young women. We have a young women's generation that is now taking their own turn on the ice, and they are lively, they're intelligent, they have great ambitions, and they're working hard to develop their talents, to do well at school, they volunteer in their communities. Sometimes it's easy for us to forget that they are also performing feats of breathtaking courage. They're striving to be pure and virtuous in a world that's anything but. As women, we share many experiences that give us a common bond, not the least of which is girls' camp. Whether we're from Brazil, where they teach girl campers how to cut down bamboo and lash it together to make furniture, or whether we're from Salt Lake, where your girls' campground might look at the golden arches of the McDonald's at Park City, we all have our own unique girls' camp experience, I think. Our daughter, Elizabeth, shared with us her favorite girls' camp adventure, and it was the night hike, the midnight hike that she took. I could just picture Sister Mortensen with her flashlight cutting through the darkness in the thick Tennessee woods, and the girls were following close behind her with their sweats and PJs on, and they were hanging onto each other's shirt tails. And they were in a large population of raccoons, skunks, bats, and insects. But Sister Mortensen knew the way. She had a strong flashlight, and the girls were hanging on to each other. And when they reached a clearing, they stopped by a lake to rest under the stars before heading back to their tents. So many things could have tripped them up, and yet their midnight hike was a great success. Well, the young women we love so much are having their own courageous hike at a pretty dark time in the world's history. It just takes a flip of the TV switch, a glance at the magazine stand, 1 minute in the halls of their schools, or an excursion to the shopping mall to know this is true. There is so much to trip them up. But they are not alone, because we are on the path ahead of them, and we have a powerful light to share with them. In fact, just after he compared the moral darkness of our day to that of the Twin Cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, President Hinckley made this remarkable statement, quote, "It is so tremendously important that the women of the church stand strong and immovable for that which is correct and proper under the plan of the Lord. We call upon the women of the church to stand together for righteousness. They must begin in their own homes. They can teach it in their classes. They can voice it in their communities. They must be the teachers and guardians of their daughters. When you save a girl, you save generations. I see this as the one bright shining hope in a world that is marching towards self-destruction." Do we really catch that? He didn't say it's the missionary program, it's the warden branch leaders. He said it's us, we young and older women, who are the one bright shining hope in this dark situation. Well, there is one especially powerful light that we can share with our young women. It is a light that will pierce the darkness of our day. It will help them avoid dangers on their path. It's the empowering and protective virtue of modesty. Modesty is much more than having the right number of inches between the skirt and the knee. It is an attitude that says, I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and I know the role my body plays in that. It says, I listen to and follow a prophet. I am a disciple of Christ. Who wouldn't want to share this kind of gift with our daughters and the girls we lead? And how can we share it? Speaking to the church in 1838, the Lord said, Arise and shine, that thy light may be a standard for the nations. As we consider how to help our girls practice the virtue of modesty, this verse has much to teach us. First of all, it says, arise. And I would like to suggest that even before we can arise, we must be awake. We must be awake to the temptations and dangers our young women are facing every day. Among the greatest of these is our popular culture's constant attack on their dignity and their sense of who they are and what they should be about. This message comes through loud and clear in songs, videos, ads, reality shows. And when I think about it, it really boils down to a few short sentences that go something like this. Your body is the most important thing about you. It's primarily a lure, so starve it, straighten it, make it up, make it over, and dress it up in trendy clothes, and then you'll be happy, just like celebrities. Well, it sounds ridiculous when I put it that way, but this message plays a very serious role in low self-esteem, depression, and immorality with all its attendant ills. So we need to stay awake to the effects of the media in our girls' lives. We must not be lulled into thinking that modesty is something we can just let slide. It's not peripheral. It is central to the well-being of the young women we love. Arising also implies that we may need to stretch ourselves. Recently, a young woman made the insightful observation that just as the young men of our church have been challenged to raise the bar as they prepare to be effective missionaries, so the young women need to raise the bar, especially in the area of modesty. And I think implicit in those two challenges is a third challenge for us who are parents and leaders. In our families and young women presidencies, it will take focusing our best creativity and our best inspiration to know how to support our young women in this vital principle. Arising also reminds me that the Lord tells us to arise early. A girl's earliest years are the very best time to lay the foundations for modesty later. From the very beginning, a girl needs to learn that her body is the sacred temple of her spirit, and that dressing modestly will make her strong and help her accomplish her important mission on earth as a daughter of God. She will also need a healthy sense of self, so she won't have to get that sense of self from dressing immodestly. Next in the scripture, shine forth. We must shine forth ourselves in the principle of modesty, valuing and honoring the covenants we have made ourselves in this regard. As Elder M. Russell Nelson explained, quote, keeping a covenant is not constraining, but enabling. It elevates us beyond limits of our own perspective and power. It is like the difference between plodding through a muddy field and soaring through the skies in a supersonic jet. Keeping a covenant with God is both protective and enabling. Close quote. The young women in our lives are watching us with unblinking eyes, calibrating their own navigational instruments by ours, using us as true north. When they see that we consider our own covenants with the Lord to be enabling and protective, they will most likely see their own commitments in that same light. And last, a standard for the nations. The word standard has two meanings here. The first kind is a banner carried atop a pole to mark a rallying point in battle. Because the reality is, we are not the only ones concerned about modesty. Many others are ready to join us as we champion it. The second kind of standard is a gauge. It is a rule for measure, a means for determining what a thing should be. It is a fixed point, not a sliding rule that we adjust to stay just above the popular fashions of the day. In order to give our girls the gift of modesty, we need to recognize and explicitly teach its many protective and enabling benefits. Here are just a few. First and most important, modesty gives girls spiritual protection. It's like putting on the whole armor of God. I think our girls' junior high and high schools are not unlike the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because those young men stood by the Lord's standards, opposing the cultural practices of their day. The Lord stood by them, enabling them to withstand the fire with his very presence. Our daughters, too, need great spiritual protection daily, as they face their own kind of fire. As they honor the Lord by dressing modestly, He will stand by them, protecting them from evils in their world. Modesty also protects girls in a very literal way. I recently walked into a mall behind a pretty young woman wearing a very short dress. I watched sadly as a much older man looked her up and down, then turned to watch as she passed. In our day, pornography and media exploitation of girls have reached scourge proportions. How I wish that young girl had had the protective gift of modesty. Before our girls can appreciate this benefit, though, they must understand the fundamental difference in the way women and men respond to visual stimuli. Otherwise, they will just assume that because seeing a boy dressed immodestly doesn't bother them, it's the same for boys and men. And without understanding this crucial bit of information, they'll never be able to understand what the big deal is when their shirt doesn't quite meet their jeans or when their t-shirt is a little bit too tight. Second benefit, it's really a lot of benefits. Dressing modestly is like taking a multivitamin. It has many, many benefits. Besides being the mother virtue of chastity, modesty helps others see past the body to the mind and the heart of a girl. It helps people focus on her inner qualities, such as creativity and intelligence. It helps others see and treat her as a whole person. As one young woman put it, dressing immodestly is like letting the backup singers drown out the lead singer. Remember the old motto, dress for success? Well, dressing modestly is really dressing for respect. And that is something every girl needs and deserves. Modesty elevates her relationships to a higher plane. One young man summed it up like this, quote, "A young woman's dress tells me a lot about how she feels about herself and the Lord. When a young woman dresses modestly, she has a beauty that comes, I believe, from the Spirit. When she dresses modestly, it makes me want to be worthy of her. And when we are both dressed modestly, there is less temptation, and more importantly, the Spirit can be present in our relationship." Close quote. Truly, modesty is a girl's best friend. 3. Dressing modestly helps girls light the path for others. No one has expressed the effect righteous women will have on the world better than President Spencer W. Kimball. Quote, "Much of the major growth that is coming to the church in the last days will be because many of the young good women of the world, in whom there is often such an inner sense of spirituality, will be drawn to the church in large numbers. This will happen to the degree that the women of the church reflect righteousness and articulateness in their lives, and to the degree that the women of the church are seen as distinct and different in happy ways from the women of the world. Thus it will be that female exemplars of the church will be a significant force in both the numerical and spiritual growth of the church in the last days." Can the way a young woman dresses really have such a powerful effect? Just ask Florence Chikwara. Florence was born into a life of extreme poverty in Nigeria. But when she was 15, she saw some young nurses and decided that she would be a nurse. Why? Because she admired their clean, crisp, white aprons. She loved their white hats. She wanted to look like that, and she wanted to do what they did. So at the age of 16, she traveled 6 hours away from home to begin her training as a nurse. The year she graduated in nursing, she received the Florence Nightingale Award for Best Nurse of the Year. She continued her education, training as a midwife. She met and married an educated man. She was baptized with him and served with him when he was president of the Accra Ghana Mission. She also served on the Relief Society General Board. I wonder if all that had happened, if those nurses had not kept their uniforms clean, or had worn them in a sloppy or disheveled way, or only worn parts of their uniforms. Those nurses had a definite look. Missionaries have a look. You can spot them at a glance. I love the title of Sherry Doo's book, No Doubt About It. Isn't it wonderful when our girls look so clearly modest that you can spot them at a glance? They look wholesome, no doubt about it. They have a look. For a young woman, buttoning the top button might be something like pinning on a missionary's badge. It's the final touch that completes the look. It's closing the last chink in the armor. imagine a whole army of such girls as living examples to other girls who desperately need the protecting and powerful principle of modesty. 4, dressing modestly leads to the temple. Several weeks ago, our daughter Christiana and I left the tabernacle after a fireside late one evening. As we walked by the Salt Lake Temple, we looked upward and caught our breath. It was so radiant and beautiful. We could even see light glowing out from some of the windows. "I want to go to the temple right now," Christiana said. I believe most of our young women feel the same way. We can help them understand that dressing modestly is something they can do right now to be worthy of entering the temple later. If they dress appropriately now, they will have no need to buy a whole new wardrobe or adopt a whole new attitude toward clothing when it's their time to go to the temple. But for our girls, the choice of what to wear is often more emotional than rational. They want to be accepted. They want to fit in with their peers. So just as they sometimes need us to guide them to eat an apple rather than a candy bar, they need day-to-day guidance in making wise clothing choices. So how do we find modest clothes for our daughters? And what do we do when a girl keeps coming to activities inappropriately dressed? I don't have the answers to all these questions, but I have thought about them, and I have a few tips to offer. First, on shopping. Tip number one, know before you go. Long before we hit the mall with our daughters, we must be completely clear in our own minds about what is acceptable and what isn't. We can begin by reading the section from the pamphlet for the Strength of Youth together. Don't wait till you get in the dressing room and find out that the cutest outfit in the store doesn't quite meet in the middle. If we waffle and slide, our daughters will be carried steadily downstream to lower and lower standards. Remember that most of all, we're trying to help our daughters maintain a wholesome look. It's the overall look, demeanor, and attitude that convey modesty. A logo on a sweatshirt can make even that piece of clothing immodest. The word modest actually means moderate. It means unpretentious, chaste, humble. The word modesty means freedom from conceit or vanity, propriety in dress, speech, and conduct. An immodest attitude flaunts the body, uses it to get attention, and a modest attitude conveys a sense of being humble and having dignity. And this is what we are striving for. Shopping tip two, be prepared for the fact that most trendy clothing right now is immodest. We all know this. Styles mostly follow celebrity clothing, and that's designed to be provocative, so it's going to take some searching. But remember, one of our articles of faith clearly states, in order to find anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we will have to seek after these things, and we do have to seek. Shopping tip three, use the mirror. Pull a chair into the dressing room so your daughter can make sure the outfit still is modest when she crosses her legs or bends over to pick up a pencil. Show her how to play head, shoulders, knees, and toes to make sure skin doesn't show when she moves normally. Tip four, be creative. Once we are firmly determined, we will figure out how to do what it takes. We can buy t-shirts and jeans in larger sizes, shop in Mrs. Departments or through catalogs or online. Some popular stores are starting to carry t-shirts and jeans that have more modest cuts and lengths. So we should patronize those stores and write notes to say thank you. Also write letters to other stores and ask them to carry more modest styles. And if your daughter has to take a pass on some of the trendy styles, you can help her use the season's popular colors or shoes or accessories to update her look. Shopping tip five, help your daughter create a sense of her own style. A style that reflects who she is, a strong, independent-minded person on her way to someplace important. Other girls may and probably will follow her. Help her find a look that will take her where she wants to go, to fulfill her dreams of worthiness for the temple, mission, and being a righteous mother who will pass these values on to daughters of her own. Now, just two ideas on being a leader. First, love is the most important thing. We can only lead a girl down a path if she wants to be near us. And we must always remember that a girl who dresses or even acts immodestly is in all probability just following a popular style in dress or behavior. Almost all immodestly dressed girls are like sheep in wolves' clothing. Behind the improper style is a girl with a good heart and righteous desires. Second, remember the magic of clear, firm expectations. When young women know exactly what is expected, they will rise to meet the expectations. In fact, they will thrive on meeting them. Marshmallow love doesn't give the security and safety young women need. Firm expectations are a great expression of great love. Our task may seem overwhelming at times. We may feel we're trying to hold back a cultural tidal wave all by ourselves. Sometimes we may just feel like we're being pecked to death by a duck or even a whole flock of ducks, and probably will always wish there were greater consensus on these matters. Well, look around you. Everyone here right now shares your love for girls and your desire to help them dress modestly. Your neighborhoods, your wards are full of people who want to do these things. We need to have conversations with each other, share our best ideas, and find creative solutions. We are not alone. Many people of other faiths share these ideals, and we need to support them, and they need to support us too. When our family lived in Kentucky, I had two close friends of other faiths. One day, my Christian friend Lauren asked me what I thought of the spaghetti strap t-shirts that were just getting popular. She didn't like them, and she wondered if she should let her daughter wear them. I told her I shared her feeling. Then I explained that the church's dress standards backed us up. And that fact was really helpful and comforting to her and supported her in what she already believed. About the same time, I was complaining to my Jewish friend Margaret about how stores were marketing adult-looking clothing to younger and younger girls. And she was lamenting that some of the girls in her synagogue were dressing inappropriately. Then she explained that there is a Yiddish word, frum, that describes the sensibility we shared about dress. Now it was my turn to feel supported. She not only felt the same way I did, she gave me a word for it. But ultimately, we must never lose heart, because, as the Apostle Paul asked, if the Lord be with us, who can be against us? Every now and then we hear news stories of women who perform amazing deeds of strength and courage. You know, the 130-pound woman who lifts a car to free a child, or closer to home, the woman who speaks up at city council or school board for children. Which brings me back to our girls' camp, and one of my favorite girls' camp facts of nature, and that is this: while it's a bad thing to run into a male grizzly bear on a hiking trail, it's a far worse thing to run into a mother grizzly protecting her cub. Women have the determination, the strength, and the courage to protect young women, even against enormous odds. I'd like to close by reading President Hinckley's words one more time. It is so tremendously important that the women of the church stand strong and immovable for that which is correct and proper under the plan of the Lord. We call upon the women of the church to stand together for righteousness. They must begin in their own homes. They can teach it in their classes. They can voice it in their communities. They must be the teachers and guardians of their daughters. When you save a girl, you save generations. I see this as our one bright, shining hope. May we all find the courage, the inspiration, and the ingenuity to fulfill this hope. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.